Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be like your Son, Jesus Christ, whose food was to do the will of the Father. Lord, help us and our testimony to reach others who need your strength. And we pray these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're in John chapter 4, and we're continuing with the story of the woman at the well. This woman who had everything against her. She was the wrong race. She was a Samaritan instead of a Jew. She was the wrong kind of a woman. She had to go out at midday to get her water instead of in the cool of the morning because everybody had rejected her. And she was, in that patriarchal society, a woman. So she already had these strikes against her, and Jesus came, and Jesus met her need. And just like that song that we just heard, where we're weak, where we don't have what we need, God meets our need. When we're weak, He's strong. He's part of everything that makes us anything. Without Him, John 15, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can do all things. She found out that day that she was a sinner, which she knew, and that Jesus was a Savior. And if the church loses that message, we lose everything. We stop being the church. As soon as the church starts saying sin doesn't matter, then a Savior doesn't matter either. If you start saying, I'm okay, you're okay, then we've lost what makes us unique. Because the world says that. But Jesus told this woman, in her own words, everything she had ever done. And she was excited. Because it's about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about that question that she asked at the end in verse 25 and 26 of chapter 4, where we ended last time, where she talks about, I know the Messiah is going to come, who will reveal to us all things. And Jesus said, in verse 26, I who speak to you am He. That's what it finally comes down to. And she, her heart was filled. She came to Christ. She trusted Him. She realized He's what He was. Remember, when she says Christ, she's talking about Messiah. Messiah has three components to both the Jews and the Samaritans. It meant, first of all, He's a prophet. When He's a prophet, He knows from God who you are, what you are, and what the future is going to be. He's also the priest, which means He made the sacrifice for your sins and mine. That's what priests do. And then He's the king over everything. And it means that everything will go His way in the end. I told my students at seminary and chapel yesterday, don't be discouraged by what's going on right now. God's victorious. Psalm 2 says, surely the nations rage, but he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. God's going to win. In fact, God has won. He won on Calvary. He won on that cross. He's prophet, priest, and king. And so it's all about Christ. If we lose Christ and become just another welcoming club, if we lose the uniqueness of Christ who came to save sinners, of whom I am what? Chief. We lose what makes the church unique. And so this woman ran off in verse 27. In verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And I want you to notice her testimony. I want you to notice how she witnessed, what she did. She didn't hand out a tract with a canned gospel message on it. She ran into the town and left, first of all, her water pot. Now, I want you to understand, she had come out in the heat of the day just to get water. And she was going to carry these pots of water back to the town. There was nothing more important in a desert society than coming back and bringing the water you need. But she was not going to be burdened by that water. This was more important than the water. She didn't care if her water pot fell in the well. She left her water pot and ran back into town. How important is the gospel to you? Is it more important than that which you really just need to survive? Is it more important than water? See, Jesus on the other side said the same thing, and we'll look at this later down. The disciples came back bringing, you know, burritos and tacos from the city, and they said, "Do you want to eat, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "My food is to do the work of him who sent me." He said, more important than eating, and this lady said, more important than drinking, is taking that which God the Father wants and doing it in this world. And this woman realized that she was now a child of God, and she was now saved, and she, no matter what her sins had been, and they had been many, she was now secure. And so this was more important than water, and she ran back into the town. And she said, he told her. First of all, she gathered the men. Isn't that interesting what she did? She didn't go and just gather her women friends. She brought the men, and the men, seems like they knew her. "Hey, guys! This man told me all I ever did. But I'm okay. This man laid my sins bare. Now he did it in private. Nobody else around. He didn't go spreading the fact that she was a sinner. She came back and did that." And it's one thing you hear a lot in testimonies. It's just natural. When you come to Christ and you go back and you share, it's very natural to pour out at that point, "This is what I was." I've heard so many testimonies of people who were either in drugs or thieves or even in Planned Parenthood or things like that, and they were doing all these things, and it was shameful things that were hidden for years. But now, they're a new creature. And they can share what their old man was because they're no longer that. I don't have to protect my reputation anymore. Paul did that. Paul says, I used to waste Christians. I used to go and destroy churches and kill people and put them in jail. That's who I was. But the important word there is what? Was. I'm new in Christ. My sins are laid bare, but I'm new in Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand that our testimony is that. I was one of those. Remember what John chapter 3 said? It says, people prefer the darkness to the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. But he who comes to the light comes that he shows that his works are being done in God. And this lady, she ran back, this woman, she ran back, and she ran into the town, and she gathered the men, those who knew her reputation, and she said, this man, he told me everything I've ever done. And they're going, and you're sharing this? She asked a very important question after that in verse 29. And I want you to notice how she does it. She said in verse 29, come, see a man who told me all the things I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? Now notice she didn't come and hit him over the head with, this is the Christ. She knew it. She had already said it back earlier. And too many Christians, you've got it. This is, no. She says, come and see. Check it out for yourself. See, the important question about Jesus is not, do you like what he says? The important question about Jesus is, come and find out who he is. See, because Jesus said some really just things that can offend. He really did. And so people, they get offended at Jesus. But see, it all comes down to, if Jesus is who he says he is, if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is the Christ, if Jesus is the Messiah, then what he says, you'd better get behind, whether you like it or not. When he says, I'm the only way to the Father, that offends people. What do you mean? All those Buddhists and Muslims and atheists and good people are all not going to the Father? How dare he say that? Well, the important question is, who is he? If he's not who he says he is, the Jews and the Romans were totally right in dealing with him through the legal system and hanging him on a cross. He was a danger to Rome. He was a danger to Israel. He was the biggest heretic of all. He came out and he said, I'm Jehovah. But if he's who he says he is, then whether you like it or not, you better listen. And so we better listen. But it comes to you going out and seeing. The important question is, when Jesus comes, is he who he says he is? And she says, come. See, think, judge, check it out for yourself. Could it be? Come and see him. Could he be the Christ? Open your mind and check out the facts. See, one thing about the gospel, and I've been preaching the word of the Lord as a pastor since 1981, and I've been giving the gospel for longer than that, so I've been around the horn a few times. I have not yet come upon a question about Jesus Christ that makes me say, well, maybe what I'm preaching is not true. Jesus has answered those questions. The Bible has shown itself powerful. And I read a lot of lousy stuff. As a man in ministry, I've got to read the other side, and I've got to be aware of what the other side talks about. So I read a lot of stuff by skeptics and atheists and liberals and people from other faiths and stuff. And I read it, and every time the Bible can answer. See, if you have a person who tells you what not to read because he's afraid your faith will fail, and you're a person who studied the Word, don't fear it. So what happens with the Jehovah's Witnesses? You know, they come to your door and they come and they bring you their magazines and stuff. And you read this Watchtower and this Awake. And you say, well, I'll read those, but here, take whatever book you want to say, Christian book you want to give them. What's their answer? No! I can't read that! Why? What are you afraid of? It's real interesting. I've got an old copy of a page from a Watchtower back in the, it was about 1912 or something like that. where it talks to the Jehovah's Witnesses, and it says, they say this, they say, if you never read the Bible, but only read our Bible studies, our research has showed that you will stay in the way. But if you just read the Bible and stop reading our Bible studies, our research has showed that you'll fall away in less than 2 years. That's their admission. That if you stick your nose in this book and stay out of the watchtower, you won't be a Jehovah's Witness in 2 years. And if that's true about this book, which they claim to be the Word of God, how much more other books? They're afraid. Because they're afraid to have you come and see and think and judge. But I will tell you this, this book, this scripture, this Bible, and the gospel behind it will stand the scrutiny of time. People have tried to knock it down for thousands of years, and it still stands strong. So you can tell those skeptics, I may not know the answer to all your questions, but I guarantee you the scripture has an answer for your question. And we're told in 2 Peter, we're told by Peter to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason for the hope that's in us. Because there is a reason. So now the people have this message. The people have seen this sinful woman come and lay her own sins bare before them and say, it's okay, I'm not the same person, and bring them to Christ. And what happens with the people? Let's look in verse 39. We'll skip over the in-between stuff. We're going to do that the next time after Mother's Day. But we'll go to verse 39, which we read today. And it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who said, he's told me all that I ever did. Do never be afraid of your testimony and the power it has. Satan wants you to be ashamed of your testimony because your testimony shows who you were, and who you were and who I was is shameful. None of us would get out without shame. Even if you're a goody-two-shoes, you got things to be ashamed of, don't you? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So she came back in. She laid herself bare. She opened herself up. She said, this is who I am. This is who he is. This is what he did. And it says many believe right there. But not all of them. But a lot of them were curious enough to go. A lot of them were curious enough to follow. A lot of them were curious enough to go out into where the well was and see what she had. And so they went. As we look down in the following verses, it says, so when the Samaritans had come to him, so they went and they looked and they started, and here's what showed me that this town was ready. They didn't make a snap judgment. They urged him to stay. They said, Jesus, can you come back and stay in our town with us for a couple days so we can look this over? And Jesus did. See, Jesus is always willing to come and give you the proof you need if you're honestly looking for proof. If you're not, don't expect it. If all you're doing is asking questions that are smoke screens, if all you're doing is trying to find ways to push him aside, Jesus has no time for that. He knows our hearts. But with these Samaritans, he did what no Jew would do. Remember, they would go around the whole area of Samaria just to avoid going through. And now Jesus, instead of walking through the outside and not touching the town, he's going to go into this Samaritan town, this town of people that the Jews hated, that they were just totally prejudiced and bigoted against, and he was going to stay there 2 days because Jesus knew that besides being Samaritans, these were people for whom he was coming to die. And so he came when they asked. And the Bible says, if you seek me with your heart, you will surely find me. If the Spirit is drawing, come. If the Spirit is saying, look, then look. Don't turn your eyes. Invite him. They asked him to stay. It shows me that they were ready and waiting for exactly what they got. And then they developed their own testimony. They went on and they developed their own testimony. Verse 42. It says, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. See, each of us have to come to that position ourselves. Doesn't matter who else has. What's your testimony? When was that time where you heard it and realized that he was the Savior of the world, which included you? Because that's what the center of our message is. It's not just, look what Jesus did in the abstract. Well, Jesus died. He paid for our sins. He rose again. And whoever trusts in him will have eternal life. That's the center of the message. If you trust in him, you come by faith, not by your works, you have the word, you have eternal life. But the center is, it's happened to me. Now I know. It's not because, in my case, Becky Myers back in high school told me. Or in your case, whoever led you to Christ. It's because now you've seen it in your life. It's a testimony. It's a witness. I am telling you what has happened. Not just, this is not hearsay. In a court, hearsay is not admissible in most cases. This is, I've been changed. Now I know that he's the Savior of the world. Have you developed a testimony? And when it's so hard, sometimes it's very hard when you're in a church and say, can you come give your testimony? A lot of Christians get up and that's all folks. Your testimony, your witness, is what Christ has done in you. You trust in the Savior, what's he done? How has he dealt with your sin? He's told me, she says, everything I ever did. Now, while this is happening, Jesus is out there. And we'll deal with this more in depth, but I want to just end with this in verse 34. Go back to verse 34. Because his disciples come back with food. It says in verse 33, therefore the disciples said to one another, has someone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I want to ask you and myself this. How many of you have been hungry sometime in the last week? Hey, raise your hand. Have you been hungry? You know, you get to that point in the day when you just got to have it, don't you? You want some food. Tacos or burritos or whatever it is, a nice egg and bacon in the morning or whatever. You're hungry. Nothing is going to make your day good unless you stick it in your mouth. How many have been there? I've been there. I like food. Food likes me. How many of us have that kind of a hunger to share the Word of God, to do the will of God, to do the work of God in our lives? How many of us crave the nourishment of our souls that come when we do what God calls us to do. If we're not hungry that way, we're not hungry right. And we need to pray to God, Lord, give me that hunger. If we do, I think there'll be some changes in the world around us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious and wonderful word.